Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, September 18th, 2014. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, homebrewer Jeff Muse shares an experiment looking into whether boiling malt extract for 15 minutes will give you a different beer from boiling the extract for a full hour. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is basicbrewing, all one word. We also have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on Google Plus as well. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. You know how that works. Whenever you think of shopping on Amazon, go to our website first. Click on our Amazon ad on the right-hand side of the page. That will take you back to Amazon. You won't notice any difference. We will, though, because you'll be helping us to bring you this show, and we greatly, greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site as well. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes and our Android app on Amazon.com. We have a Windows Phone app as well. We're on the BlackBerry podcast directory, and we're on the Stitcher app, too. Check out our Brewer's Logbook at BasicBrewingShop.com. In the front is a blank calendar that you can use to track your fermentations and plan your brews. It's blank, which means that no matter when you buy it, you have 12 full months of calendar pages to track your fermentations and brew days and such. And, of course, there is room in the back of the logbook to log the details of up to 50 batches of brew. If you want to tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. Thanks to everybody who's done so already. And protect your precious beer with one of our growler bags. Check those out at basicbrewingshop.com. And for a limited time, you can get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with the purchase of any of our DVD combos. Quite the deal. We've got a little bit of time this week to read emails and such, because the interview portion isn't as long as it has been in the past couple of weeks. First off, I want to mention that there should be a new episode of Basic Brewing Video online by the end of the week. In this week's episode, I brew up a 2-gallon Scotch ale, and Steve and I invite our friend Ed Nicholson into the kitchen to cook up an awesome habanero hot sauce to go along with it. That stuff is incredible. The Scotch ale that I brewed is also good. It's the second beer that I've brewed in my 3-gallon plastic water jug that I got at the hardware store. And there is already a third beer in the jug. This one is a sour wort beer. You've heard me talk about doing a sour mash in the past, but instead of a sour mash, I collected my wort into glass jugs after inoculating it with barley that has the natural lactobacillus on the outside. I collected that wort into the glass jugs and put it into the electric smoker for 3 days, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how that turns out. My theory was that the sour wort or the sour mash, the sour wort would smell less weird after 3 days than the sour mash did, because I could more accurately keep the oxygen out of the jugs. So more details hopefully coming up in a future episode of Basic Brewing Video. Let's take a look into the mailbag. The previous two episodes have gotten a bunch of feedback. First, let's talk about the experiment from Chris Hamilton, where he tested the gluten-reducing effects of Clarity Firm. Nate from Concord, New Hampshire writes, I just listened to the Clarity Firm episode, and I thought I would share some results. I have a coworker that is gluten intolerant, not celiac, but allergic with unpleasant reactions. So I've been using Clarity Firm to make some beer that he can have, and it's worked great. He hasn't had any reaction on any of the beers that I have given him. I haven't noticed any difference in flavor or taste, but as you did, I did notice an interesting change in the foam. Most notably, the foam that I got on a session pale ale was extremely stiff. That recipe had a lot of oats and flaked barley to give more body, about 30% flaked stuff in the grist. I don't know if the oats and the Clarity Firm combined to make some super foam, but you could actually get a tube of foam coming out of the top of a bottle if you agitated it, if you agitated it a bit. The beers were all bottled from kegs. Very interesting. Sounds like a neat party trick. Instead of the, you know, those black snakes that you get at 4th of July time, you get a little foamy beer snake. Chris in Elk Grove Village, Illinois writes, I want to thank both you and Dr. Chris Hamilton for the show on Clarity Firm. About 4 years ago, my wife developed a severe allergic reaction to gluten. That is actually what brought me into homebrewing because I wanted to make a beer she could drink. As you mentioned when talking about Desiree Knott, it's really tough to make a decent-tasting beer with sorghum, well beyond my abilities at least. After about 3 subpar batches, I came across Clarity Firm on White Lab's website. I tried it out on an ESB, and my wife had no allergic reaction. Chris says, since then, I've brewed 50-plus batches, all with Clarity Firm. It is a fantastic product. We've had everything from 1030 bitters that went from grain to glass in a week to 12% barley wines, all with no ill effects. Cool. That's just a sample of the email about that episode. We've gotten we've gotten similar responses to this past week's episode with Dan's experiment, dosing beers with the Brettanomyces and lactobacillus after they've been bottled. Eric from Rhode Island had this to say. He says, I was listening to this week's episode and have an idea why the lactobacillus beers seem to have less sourness than expected. Most strains of lacto are inhibited by both hops and alcohol. I'm guessing that most of these beers had enough hops to keep the lacto in check, and since they were all bigger beers, they likely had enough alcohol to slow down the lacto as well. If you really wanted some additional sourness post-fermentation, I think your best option is a combination of Pediococcus and Brett. Pedio can produce acid from long-chain dextrins, but it produces a lot of diacetyl as a byproduct, and Brett helps clean up the diacetyl. Then there was this from Dave in Hot Springs, North Carolina. In the critter dosing episode, the guest, Dan, noted issues with lactobacillus seeming to not work so well. In Tonsmeyer's New American Sours book on page 55, he notes, as few as 8 IBUs are enough to inhibit most commercial strains of lactobacillus. Hops become more effective at inhibiting lactobacillus as the pH of the beer drops. The strains of lactobacillus marketed by brewing yeast labs tend to be rather alcohol intolerant. So Dave says, that may explain it. There you go. I've read Mike's book on sour brewing, but it's also it's good to have a reminder. And I think Mike also talked about Brett cleaning up diacetyl from Pediococcus, as Eric said before. So, yet another reason to get Mike Tonsmeyer's American Sours book. I always appreciate the email feedback, and I'm trying to be good about replying in a prompt way, even if they don't, even if I don't have time to read it on the show, like in the past couple weeks. Okay, let's get to the meat of the matter. For a while, I've been a proponent of what I call a 15-minute pale ale, where malt extract is only boiled for 15 minutes. In fact, the whole boiling time is only 15 minutes. And there have been some skeptics over the years, and I encourage skepticism on all things. But I've always stuck to my position that this technique makes tasty beers. Well, Jeff Muse has finally come up with a formal experiment to put it to the test. Jeff Muse, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you, James. Thrilled to be here.
You have an experiment on one of my favorite topics, and that is short boils versus long boils. Can you start at the beginning? Where did you get the inspiration for this?
So it actually started as a discussion on the forum of the St. Louis Brews, which is the local homebrew club here. One of our members was lamenting the fact that he didn't have enough time to brew. He couldn't put 5 or 6 hours together to do his normal all-grain brew day. And the worst part about it was he was running out of beer. So figured I'll help him out, and I pointed him in the direction of an article that you wrote on Beer and Wine Journal, must have been last year sometime, about the 15-minute pale ale. And that actually sparked quite a bit of discussion. We had a number of our club members jump in and said, oh, there's no way that's going to turn out to be good. So I couldn't think of a reason why it wouldn't work, but there were some arguments that I couldn't answer. And eventually someone said, well, what we really need to do is side by side. So I said, okay. And this was maybe 6 months ago that we had the discussion. And what with one thing and another, that I didn't get around to actually doing the side by side comparison beers until July. And I took them to the homebrew club meeting a couple of weeks ago and got some interesting results.
So what were the detractors saying? What were the fears that they were having about doing a shorter boil?
There were about half a dozen different things they said. And I think a big concern was that the shorter boil wasn't going to be enough time to boil off some of the volatiles that might contribute to some off flavors and off aromas. Nobody actually said DMS that I recall, but I'm sure that was something that was on people's minds. There were some concerns about head stability because you're not really extracting all the hop oils. There were some concerns about clarity because you're not coagulating the proteins and getting them to fall out. There were some concerns, well, you might have some harsh flavors. There were some criticisms about boil pH, which I didn't understand then, and I still don't understand now, even though I collected some data on it. And there were some concerns about shelf life.
Well, I guess we should give some background for those who haven't read the article or haven't heard me talk about my 15-minute pale ale on the show before. But this goes back a long way. I think way back to 2006. I think when Steve and I went to our first homebrew conference down in Orlando, I remember that my first batch of 15-minute pale ale was in the fermenter at that time because I asked Charlie Papazian at the club meeting, the club night, what he thought of the process, and he had some reservations about it as well. And then I came back and finished fermenting and bottled it, and it turned out pretty good. So let me run through kind of quickly what the theory is, and it's just so we can get some background. The theory was that I had talked to Bob Hansen of Breese Malt and Ingredients Company. And I had talked to other people who were adding a portion, at least a portion of their extract, at closer to the end of the boil, so that they would avoid darkening the wort, essentially, and that they would have, if they were doing a concentrated boil, they would have a lower gravity of wort to put the hops in because they were afraid of hurting the hop utilization. So my question to Bob was, is there any reason why we should boil malt extract for a full hour? And his answer was essentially no, because extract, whether it's liquid or dry, goes through a full time boil at the manufacturer. It is essentially a wort that has gone, an all grain beer, an all grain wort that has gone through the entire boil and has just had either most or all of the water taken out of it at the end of that. So processes like volatilization of the DMS and coagulation of proteins and all these things that we talk about have happened already at the extract manufacturer. The only thing that we have to worry about is hop utilization, boiling our hops enough to get the bitterness that we want, and sanitization of that extract. So my theory was, if you boil the extract for 15 minutes, you'll be okay. And also at that time, there was talk of hop bursting or, adding just a ton of hops at the end of your 60-minute boil. So I was reading Ray Daniels' book on designing great beers, and I figured out, using the hop utilization formulas and all that, if you simply took the hops that you were going to add at 60 minutes, doubled the amount and added them at 15 minutes, and then added some more hops near the end of that boil, you could do a 15-minute boil with extract and come out with a really tasty beer that had the bitterness that you wanted and also had the flavor and aroma that you wanted as well. So that's did I cover all the bases, Jeff?
I think you hit it. I think probably one thing we should make clear up front is this is not going to work with every style of beer. Because you are throwing in so many hops so late in the boil, If you want to make something that doesn't have any hop character at all, something like a Munich Dunkel or one of the Scottish styles, it's probably not going to turn out too well because you're going to have way more hop character than you want.
That's a good point. It's a really, really good way to make, if you like juicy, fruity, citrusy, American pale ales, this is a way to do it. Yeah, you're right. If you're trying to make, say a Czech Pilsner or something like that, this is probably not the way you want to go. You can still add, at least a portion of your extract near the end of the boil if you're worried about wort darkening. But yeah, you're right. If you throw in your hops, and don't boil them for the full 60 minutes, you're going to get more hop flavor than you probably want in a bunch of beer styles. It's a very good point, Jeff. So how did you design your experiment?
So what I did is I did two back-to-back brews. My first batch was the control batch. That had a 60-minute boil. I basically did the typical extract technique of steeping some specialty grains. It was 12 ounces of Crystal 40, which I think is 340 grams, if I remember right. So steeped that for half an hour, pulled the grain bag out, started bringing the water up to a boil, and then added 6 pounds, which I think is about 2¾ kilos of Golden Light DME. Didn't add my hops until 15 minutes left in the boil, so that's would mimic the 15-minute technique. So it was 1.5 ounces of Warrior at 15, 42 grams, and then a 10-minute and a 5-minute addition of Cascade, which was each an ounce, 28 grams, and then an 1 ounce of Flame Out of Chinook, or 28 grams again. Original gravity on that was 1050. So the second batch was the 15-minute boil. During the control, I took a note of where my volume was at 15 minutes, so I made that my starting volume on the second batch, and then repeated the steep of the Crystal 40, same DME addition, and then as soon as I got it up to a boil, I started my hopping immediately.
That's clever. I was wondering how you were going to compensate for the difference in volume. But that's smart. That's a good way to do it. I think if I were to do it, I would have maybe added some water in the fermenter to compensate. But the way you did it sounds like a smarter way to go, because we have to remember, if we're boiling for 45 minutes longer, we're losing a lot more water to steam during that process.
Yeah, and in my case, it was really easy to do it that way because I'm lucky enough to have a kettle with a sight glass, so it's staring me right in the face.
Well, you're a lucky man, Jeff. I still have to use my dipstick, so I'm assuming that the volumes in the fermenters were pretty close.
They were close. There was maybe a quart difference, a little bit less. So interestingly enough, the gravity on both batches were the same, so I'm not quite sure how that happened, but it's very similar.
Okay. And you fermented with, what did you use to ferment? What yeast?
I used US05. I learned a bunch of things from this experiment, and the first thing I learned was that I should have stuck with yeast that I'm familiar with. I don't typically use US05 unless I'm just doing a small batch on the stove. And for whatever reason, I felt lazy and didn't feel like making a starter with 1056 or 001. So I just rehydrated a packet of US05 in each, and was actually a little bit surprised at how long it took me to get going. I wound up going to the store the next day and getting another packet just to be safe.
Huh. Okay. And normal fermentation in both vessels, I'm assuming?
Yeah, two carboys side by side, temperature controlled fridge, and they were within a degree of each other for the entire fermentation.
And how did you package?
I kegged both, and they both kegs were run a manifold connected to the same CO2 tank.
Okay. So should we, you sent me three bottles to do a triangle test down here. So should we talk, should we go through our sensory data first, or should we talk about your homebrew club?
Well, actually, let's do your clip, but before we do that, just in the interest of completeness, if anybody else wants to try this, I did dry hop both batches for 3 days with Cascade and Chinook.
Okay. Well, very good. As long as I think as long as they're treated the same, you know, that's the goal is to try to limit the variable to the one that we're checking out, and that's boil time. So should we go to the tasting with Steve and Ed and me?
Sure.
Okay, let me set this up. We were sitting out on the patio yesterday, in fact, we're recording this on Monday. So yesterday we were recording an episode of Basic Brewing video with our friend Ed Nicholson, who knows how to make a killer habanero hot sauce from scratch. And he just made up the recipe himself. So he shares it with us for the first time on the podcast. And so we were sitting outside on the patio and we were cooking the ingredients for the hot sauce outside because I didn't want to spend the night in a hotel because it's pretty caustic stuff. If you can imagine, you know, just a World War I type of mustard gas made out of jalapenos or habaneros. That's what we had. So anyway, we're sitting outside, beautiful day, and you sent us three bottles, one with a green sticker on top, one with a yellow sticker on top, and one with a red sticker on top. And we, our challenge was to pick out the odd one. And so here's what happened. It is the ideal day here out here on the patio in Northwest Arkansas. Beautiful weather. Here with Steve Wilkes.
Hey, James.
And our new to the podcast is Ed Nicholson.
Howdy, James.
Ed is sitting next to a steaming pot of hot sauce with habaneros. So,
Literally.
literally sitting right next to you. So it's like trench warfare. Instead of mustard gas, it's habanero gas. We are tasting these three beers, yellow, green, and red.
They're not really that color.
No.
They're just labeled that
yeah,
color.
just the little labels on the top. And have you guys formed an opinion?
I have.
About this?
About which one is it? As they used to say on Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other. But boy, they are all pretty similar. But first of all, let me speak for my wife, Susan, who has made a cameo appearance and left. She voted for G. She said it was not as hoppy as the others. We should have written these down on a piece of paper and you know, done that kind of blind. So, Steve, what do you think?
I think that R is not like the others. It seems a little more watery than the other two, ever so slightly.
Interesting. Ed?
Y seems darker in color, but I'm inclined to agree with Susan on the G as far as taste.
Interesting. I at one point I thought Y looked darker to me, but then I rearranged my cups and I didn't think so. So the so if it is darker, it's only like half a shade darker.
Yeah, and I like Ed, I think that Y is a little darker too,
Okay.
ever so slightly.
But you said
But for some reason, R just tastes a little bit more watery. It doesn't have quite the mouthfeel to my palate.
So we have one vote for R, two votes for G. I'm going to vote for Y because at one point in the tasting, I thought it tasted a little sweeter or a little, I got a little bit more hop flavor, kind of the fruitiness of the hop. So I'm stepping out there.
All right.
So we have a key.
Oh.
You have a sealed on an envelope that has been sealed on Funkin' Wagnalls' porch in a mayonnaise jar.
I do hot breath.
Well, Wait, can I make a prediction of what it says?
You may.
Sis boom ba.
Sis boom ba. What does that mean?
What is the sound of an exploding sheep?
Boom ba.
Surprised you didn't remember that one.
I couldn't remember the joke. Here we go.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Drum roll, please.
You like me. You really like me.
Yellow is a 60-minute boil.
That's a different one?
Yes, that's a different one.
Woo! Right.
Wow. So red and green are the same. Yellow is, we both agreed that yellow was a little darker.
Oh, well, there you go.
But I didn't get a different taste out of it.
You know, it just depended on when I tasted them. You know, it's very difficult with three because you're trying to taste them as close enough together as you can, but far enough apart to let your palate sort of rest a little bit between tastings. So,
and it's interesting that I thought it tasted a little sweeter.
Yeah, so, but you got it right.
And I swear I didn't cheat.
No, you couldn't have cheated.
Well, I could have. I could have put it put it in another envelope that said key.
So, for those of us who are novices, and I'm an extreme novice, but
yes.
I'm here for the peppers. So, anyway, so this boiling longer supposedly would concentrate some of the flavors. Is that?
Well, and I'm not real clear on the. This is me talking in the past. I'm not real clear on the specifics of the experiment. But generally, what you would do if you were doing extract boil is you would put all the ingredients in, or put your bittering hops and then the extract in at 60 minutes and boil them for a full 60 minutes. The technique that I had used to do a short boil was to double the amount of hops at 15 minutes and then boil the extract for only 15 minutes. So, I'm not sure since I'm in the past and I'm not up on the specifics of the experiment, so you would think that boiling extract for longer would darken it a bit, mm-hmm. and maybe change the character of it. But I guess the real question would be, there are some who say that doing a shorter boil would be a detriment to the beer. And I don't think that in this tasting we could say that.
It's so difficult to tell the difference that I would say no. You know, if you had to take the kids to soccer practice or, or play a gig, as Mr. Wilkes is wont to do,
Shorter time. Yeah, I'd say that... we had an extremely difficult time, and one would say that it would border on throwing dice or choosing numbers out of a hat. I just, I've just got lucky here,
So. Well, I mean, I don't know that you were lucky. I mean, you were right, and your reasoning was right, I think. But, man, is that close together. I mean, it's just, if I'm going to save, 45 minutes? Okay, I'll do it.
Well, very good. I'll take a picture of these for the website or for the Facebook page so that people can see how close they actually are in color. But thanks, guys. Boy, that hot sauce smells good.
Yeah, it does.
Probably getting close.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Jeff, I got lucky. What can I say?
No, skillful palate, trained palate.
I'll take my victories where I can get them. It's funny though that we came out. My wife Susan paired up with Ed on that choice, and then Steve had his own choice, and I had my own choice. So we divided up, almost evenly between the three. And I gotta say, I gotta reiterate that the color difference that we saw. The one that was darker was very, 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 very slightly darker. And I think I mentioned on the recording that I switched them around and talked myself out of the darkening. So I took a photograph of it. And first of all, I sent it to you, Jeff, but I'm going to post it on our Facebook page so that people can see for themselves that the difference was almost negligible.
In the photo you sent, I would have written that off to lighting.
Yeah, yeah. So very, very interesting. The flavor difference, I mean, as far as I was concerned, there were no flavor differences. I mean, at one point I talked myself into saying that, you know, the one that was different had a little bit of a different hop character, but then I tasted around some more and that seemed to go away. So as far as we were concerned, these were three basically identical beers. So how did your guys come out?
So it was interesting. I should probably explain first what our process was. We tend to have fairly large meetings. So typically what we do with the brews is people will bring in their samples. And in my case, I brought in six growlers, two of one I called A, two of one I called B, and two of one I called C. And then we've got volunteers in the kitchen who are actually taking the beer that's brought to them, putting them into pitchers, and then passing them around the tables. So getting the beer to the members can be a little bit time-consuming sometimes. So what we wound up with is basically a form that I had included with the beer that was being passed around. And the first question I asked was, which one do you think is not like the others? So I got 48 responses back. Out of those, 18 identified A is the one not like the others. 14 identified B, and 16 identified C. So that's about the same distribution you'd expect if people were just guessing.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty darn close. So which one was the different one?
So C was the odd one. That was a 60-minute boil.
Wow. So that's significant, I would say. It mirrors what we had here.
It does. I mean, I think, well, you could say that you had a 50% success rate from your tasting, but with a smaller sample size, I mean, I'm not quite sure how that would extrapolate out.
Somewhere there's a statistician that's
it ain't me.
Could help us out. So what were the sensory feedback? What was the sensory feedback that you were getting from your tasters?
So the first thing I did was I tossed everybody's responses who didn't correctly identify C. Not sure if that was the right thing to do or not, but it kind of makes sense to me in that you want to make sure that you're getting the people who are evaluating correctly. But at the same time, we don't know if they were just guessing and got lucky or if they actually did pick up some real differences. But in any event, of the people that identified C as being the odd one, they actually said that head retention was worse than the 15-minute boil beers by a margin of about 2-1. And that's why I mentioned our presentation system earlier. I think there might have been a chance that C, the 60-minute boil sample, sat out in pitchers a little bit longer than A and B did. So they naturally would have had a chance for the head to recede a little bit and maybe lose a little bit of carbonation. So I'm thinking maybe that might explain that answer there. Hmm. Because if you look at the criticisms of the shortened boil method, one of them is that you have a short boil, you're going to have worse head retention because you're not extracting all the hop oils.
Well, that's interesting, but I would argue with that because the hops are going to be in the boil for the same amount of time. So,
yeah, well, that's true too.
okay. What else did you hear?
let's see. I heard that by about a 2-1 margin, the 60-minute boil was a little bit smoother, not quite as harsh. People were pretty much evenly split on esters. They said the 60-minute boil didn't really have a perceptible difference in terms of sulfur. So, I mean, that gets back to the whole question of, are you retaining volatiles in your beer by not boiling for a full 60 minutes? I think that's pretty conclusive there. Clarity, about a 2-1 margin, people said clarity was about the same. You had a fairly even distribution as to whether or not there was any more or any less caramel flavor in the 60-minute boil. You think maybe you're going to develop a little bit of that flavor just through the extended boiling. It didn't seem to be a difference. About the same amount of melanoidin character. And interestingly, they said maybe a little bit less hop bitterness in the 60-minute boil. I don't have a good explanation for that one.
That's interesting. Now, that you know, if I, since I tasted those myself, you know, they're picking up. Either they're more of a super taster than I am, or they're, you know, they're picking up things that I didn't. They were just so darn similar. All three beers, you know, were just so very similar. I think that you approached me when you were constructing the experiment to kind of get some feedback, and I made some predictions. And I think one of those predictions was that the 60-minute boil would be darker. But I think that the way you compensated for the volume, making sure that that the volume of water to extract ratio was the same, you know, you added the same amount of water at that 15-minute point in the short boil than it was in the or as it was in the long boil, I think that you counteracted that a lot because, you know, I would have expected extract that was boiled, you know, for 45 minutes longer to be darker. But I think a lot of that is just it's more concentrated.
Yeah, I would think that the volume is probably as big a predictor of color as anything. In fact, thinking of a page Kai Troister has up on his website where he compared a couple of different decoction mashes, or it might have actually been a decoction and an infusion mash, and the color was really close between the two of them. So his point, if I remember correctly, was that the application of heat has less of an effect on color than we think it does. And I'm wondering if that's the same thing here.
Yeah, it would seem to be. You know, I think I've had a conversation with Chris Colby as well, where he said that wort darkening has more to do with concentration of the sugars or concentration of the, you know, the extract if you're using extract than the actual length of time that it spends on the heat. So, but either way, you know, the way you compensated for it in the experiment, there was only just maybe half a shade of difference between the 60-minute and the short boil.
Yeah, it's nothing that I would notice, even with them side by side. Maybe your visual acuity is a little bit better than mine, but I hadn't even thought about the color difference until you pointed it out today.
So what was the reaction with everybody involved? Did you change any minds?
I don't know that I really changed any minds. Interestingly, I haven't heard too much from some of the people on the forum about if they're going to change any of their brewing techniques or not. I think actually the best part of this exercise had less to do with the results and more about the experience of really doing some critical tasting as a club. I got a lot of feedback from members who said they really enjoyed that experience, really being forced to analyze the different beers critically. We may have helped develop some new BJCP judges in the club. And the thing that really surprised me was not one person said, "I don't boil a brew extract. Why do I care?" Everybody was very positive about it.
Well, this is proof that this technique does yield a tasty beer, because all the beers that you sent were good and enjoyable. We certainly enjoyed ourselves out there on the patio, and I think we finished all our samples after we were done talking. So,
well, good. I've been switching back and forth between the two here at home, and if I'm drinking casually, I can't tell the difference between the two of them. I mean, if I line them up side by side, and obviously I know which is which, I think maybe the 60-minute boil has a little bit more of a bready maltiness that the 15-minute doesn't have. But like I said, it's really subtle, and I wouldn't pick it out just on its own.
But the biggest difference is probably that you spent 45 minutes of your life longer on the one batch and a bit of money on energy that you didn't on the shorter batch.
Yeah, I think that was one of your predictions, too, when I first got in touch with you about this.
So I was right about something.
So the thing that I think I'm going to take away from this is if I want to try out some new hops, this is a technique I would definitely use, especially with the small batch. Just do a gallon and a half, 2 gallon batch on the stove, do a 15 minute boil with extract, and probably have an hour in the process total. And then that way, if it turns out that I don't like whatever this new hop variety is, haven't really lost a whole lot.
Yeah, you're speaking my language. We're on the same wavelength. So what's that? Do you have another experiment in the works?
I've got a couple of ideas, but nothing that is really concrete yet. I really like German wheat beers, and they I think maybe tend to lend themselves to different mashing regimes more than some other styles do. I mean, do you do a protein rest? Do you not? If you do a protein rest, what temperature should it be at? And then you've got the whole decoction argument. I would really like to figure out a way to design an experiment around that. But I'd need to get my courage up, because if I'm looking at 2 all-grain brew days with step mashes and maybe decoctions, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you need to find a friend with a similar brewing system, and you guys brew side by side.
Yeah.
Of course, that is introducing another variable there, so maybe maybe not. Well, that sounds like fun. But keep us posted on whatever you do, because this is certainly fun, and especially if you get your club involved as well, so that we can get a larger group of folks in on the collecting of data. That's especially helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the things I was really happy about, is that I'm able to use everybody in the club as guinea pigs. And I mean, the brews are used to tasting all sorts of beers from me, and I appreciate the feedback they give. And when they can help come to a firm conclusion like this, I mean, that's great. I really appreciate the time they put into this.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, thanks again, Jeff, and the members of the St. Louis Brews who took part in the evaluation of the experiment. And as usual, Stanky Steve. thanks to Steve Wilkes, is what I'm trying to say, and to Ed Nicholson, who is a newcomer to the podcast. Very interesting stuff. And as I said, I will post a picture of the samples to our Facebook page so you can look and see for yourself how slight the color variation was. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy to me and Stanky Steve, write to James at basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. You'll find our bottle openers on our shop. Our Basic Brewing growler bags are available as well. Protect your precious homebrew and craft beers. You take it from place to place. Check out our support link, where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site, along with combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you get a free bottle opener included with any of our DVD combos for a limited time. And you can check out our shirts in the store as well. Our Brewer's Logbook and logbooks are there too. Keep track of up to 50 batches of beer. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there greatly. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Pearl PL900C Educational Kits Snare and Bell Kit, and Freddie Mercury Queen Vinyl Car Sticker Decal. That's for those who are in love with their cars. Got a feel for their automobiles. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our next or site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We appreciate your support. Don't forget you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own Magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Off to get more coffee. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.